The Holy Gospel is written in the 12th chapter of St. John's Gospel, beginning with the 20th verse.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Now there were some Greeks among those who went up to worship at the festival. They came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida in Galilee, with a request. "Sir," they said, "we would like to see Jesus." Philip went to tell Andrew. Andrew and Philip, in turn, told Jesus. And Jesus replied, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Verily, truly, I tell you, unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains only a single seed. But if it dies, it produces many seeds. Anyone who loves their life will lose it, while anyone who hates their life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Whoever serves me will follow me, and where I am, my servant also will be. My Father will honor the one who serves me. Now my soul is troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour? No, it was for this very reason I came this hour. Father, glorify your name." Then a voice from heaven, "I have glorified it, and I will glorify it again." The crowd that was there had heard it and said it thundered. Others said an angel had spoken to him. And Jesus said, "This voice was for your benefit, not mine. Now is the time of judgment of this world. Now the prince of this world will be driven out. And I, when I am lifted up from this earth, will draw all my people to myself." He said this to say the kind of death he was going to die. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise you, O Christ.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good to see you. How's your, remember when you were a child, you got to daydream a little bit, or you might just be able to sit back and kind of think, have you ever had a story read and you put yourself in the story? Did you ever do that before when you were little? Or you know, kind of came to life? Kind of wanted you to do that a little bit this morning in the first part of it. A man fell into a pit. So I want you just to think. You can close your eyes if you want to think it through as I tell it. And just think of yourself as if you, well, I'm getting an echo here. if you had fallen into a pit. This is something that was written by a gentleman, Kenneth Finkins, in his work called The Rittenberg Door. You ready? A man fell into a pit, and he couldn't get himself out. A subjective person came and looked down to the man and said, "I feel for you down there." An objective person came along and said, "It's logical that someone would fall down there." A Christian scientist came along and said, "You only think that you're in a pit." A Pharisee said, "Only bad people fall in pits." A mathematician calculated the dimensions of the pit. A news reporter wanted an exclusive story about the man who had fallen into the pit. A realist said, "Yes, that's a pit." A geologist told him he should study the rock strata in the pit. An evolutionist said, "You are a rejected mutant, destined to be removed from the evolutionary cycle. In other words, you are going to die in that pit so that you cannot produce any more pit-falling offspring." The county inspector came by and asked the man, "Did he have a permit to dig that ditch?" A professor came in to lecture on the elementary principles of the pit. An evasive person came along and avoided the subject of the pit altogether. A self-pitying person said, "You haven't seen anything until you've seen the pit I had fallen into." A charismatic said, "Just confess that you're not in the pit." An optimist said, things could be worse. A pessimist said, things will get worse. Jesus, seeing the man in the pit, said to him, take my hand, trust me, and do what I say, and I will get you out of that pit. Psalm 41 and 2 says, I waited patiently on the Lord. He inclined to me. He heard my cry. He also brought me out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and he set my feet upon the rock, and he established my steps. What is John 12 about? There's a theological term called atonement. Have you heard that word before? And sometimes when we hear big words or whatever, or theological words, we get a little scared. Maybe we don't think. But this is a time where Jesus is trying to give us four principles out of this passage. And the first is that this is a priority in the life and the short span that he is on this earth. His priority was to do what? Come and die for sinful man. How many of you, at some point when you come to church, turn and you see the cross? You can all look there. It's still there. I haven't taken it down. Okay. Have you all seen it?
Yep.
Yeah? I just ask yourself, what has it done in your life? What does it do when you see the cross? We use it as jewelry. We use it for other things. But when you come to the church, and you see the cross, and you see the symbol of the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross, does it do anything for you? Does it mean anything? Does it still remind you of how much Jesus loved you? You were in a pit. I was in a pit. And that pit was the pit of sin. You were born into it. You may not have chosen it yourself, but you didn't understand maybe right away. It didn't take long to know that we have two natures, don't we, if we're in Christ Jesus. We have the old nature, which is self-centering and causes us to sin. And we have the new nature, if we're in Christ, that recognizes that. And something had to be done that we might come to a holy God. And that reminder is the cross. Jesus' whole purpose was not really understood even by his own disciples, and probably until it happened, that his purpose was straightforward to the cross. Remember the festival, as it mentions, they all came for a festival at the time. The festival we had mentioned was that reminder of sin. Remember in the Old Testament, it wasn't forgiveness of sins that was recognized. It was the reminder that we were sinners. You had to have a sacrifice. Remember, they were to remember the time of Egypt. To get away from death, they had to have a sacrifice and spread the blood on the lintel, the doorpost, the sides, enter into a home, and they would be free from that death. And that was carried on and carried on. Today, we don't have that constant reminder of sin unless we go to church, study the scripture, read things, and know where we were from. We don't have to go out and go to the market and get a spotless lamb. But today we are in the time of this atonement. There need to be a sacrifice that we might have a relationship with God. And before Easter, it's a reminder that as sinners, his purpose was to die. He tells us that in the scriptures, liberating us from the bondage of sin. The other part that he lets them know is that it's not something where you can come and simply say, well, this is going to be easy. It was going to be agony. It was going to be suffering. It was going to be shame. And there was a movie called The Passion of Christ. I saw it once. Some of you see it? I didn't rent the DVD or buy it, and I didn't want to go see it again. Because the suffering that was just shown there was so horrific that would put on a person, and that is our beloved Jesus. Luke, Dr. Luke, when you study the Gospel of Luke and you go through the parts of the crucifixion, Dr. Luke will tell you that the Lord Jesus Christ suffered in all different ways that man suffers today. You've hurt before. You've suffered. So did the Savior who can relate to you. He suffered too. Anybody been mocked for what they are or who they are? Some of you got beards. Dave, you ever had your beard plucked out? Somebody grab it? Any of you have anybody spit on you before? Anybody slander your name? Anybody challenge you in regards to who you say you are? In the time that Jesus went through, all the parts where Pilate, and then he was scourged, beaten, spit upon. This one that would go on the cruelest way of dying at the time was the cross, the Roman way of dealing with folks. He did for you. He did for me. What does it do at this time of Easter? Does it melt us hearts? Does it draw us closer? You know, the Lenten time was to figure out, maybe you would put something aside in your busyness of your life, and you take that, and we said you would fill that gap time, whatever it was, with spending time with the Lord in fasting, in prayer, in God's Word, and even maybe ministering to others. And you'd fill that void as a reminder of what Jesus had done for you. The next thing he says, I do all of this. I've lived this way. I give my life that it may be for who? For the glory of the Father. There was a glory before. Did you know that? Where did he come from? He came from heaven above with his Father, of all the splendor and the glory of the Son. We were revealed when we saw the transfiguration, you remember? And we said he was bright and shiny, brighter than what we have ever seen before. And he knew that this was God's plan. And he, as he says in this scripture, should I go ahead and pray that this not be? No. There's no other way. God had no other way to restore his creation to himself. And he did that through his Son. Some of you may think, does God really love me? Does he love all of me? Does he care about me? Does anyone care of what I've gone through? Does anybody care of the life that I have? I ask you to look to the cross. And your answer is there. Did you have a bad day? Did you have a bad week? Bad month? Bad year? Look to the cross. And he did it for the glorification of his Father. Now, all that he has done, we have heard before that Father God said to the disciples and to those that were around, "This is my beloved Son, who I am well pleased." Do what? Listen. Listen to him. Have you listened this week? Did you listen last month? Did you listen last year? When you open the Word of God, are you looking for God to speak to you? Do you have open ears to listen? In this passage, those around hear a voice and they think, well, maybe it was an angel. And it says, not only have you glorified me now, but you will glorify me again. When that Resurrection Sunday comes and we all shout together, "He is risen, he has
risen indeed."
Oh, you're getting better. You're going to have a good Sunday. He is risen indeed. And that is a proof of God's power and that he's glorified then and now. See, when we look at that cross, it's a reminder of the cost for our sin. But he's no longer on the cross, is he? No. He was given the power to rise from the dead. The priority of his life was to die for sinful man. It would cost him agony and suffering. And there was glory. The result we find at the end of the scripture here was that all of a sudden that we see victory. Victory over what? The devil or Satan himself. There's four times in scripture that we see Satan knowing that he's lost a battle. See, he thought he won when the crucifixion came. The Son of God was nailed to the cross and he died. He thought he won. But he didn't, did he? Amen? Amen. There's power in the cross. Glory in the cross. And he compares that to the seed of the wheat, that seed in itself remains a seed, a single seed. But if you plant it, some seeds need the winter, so that the casing of the seed will break open. And then when the seed is planted and it germinates, it gives off more seed. Jesus was saying to you and to me, I went to die on the cross. It was my Father's plan for us, is to give him glory and honor, and you can come before him boldly. And if you accept the work of the cross and follow me, you will be part of that seed. We will see more and more to heaven. As you share your testimony, as you bring others to church, as we share the gospel with others, we can lead them to understand the work at Calvary. May it be today, as you look at this time of atonement, the cost of covering of sin, when you look at that cross here at the church, may it tug your heart just a little more. and not just be an artistic thing, maybe not something just to say, oh, yeah, that's why I'm here, but to really understand how he loved you, and in return, we should love him back. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this scripture. It reminds us of the cross, your purpose in life, that we might have real life in you. We learned last week that if we believe in you, we have eternal life. Bless us today, and as we come even in remembrance of the communion time, that we love you more, what you have done for us. In Jesus' precious name.